This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wahib, coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
I serve with her in the United States Senate and know her as a fierce advocate for the rights of children, for women, and for the disabled. Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president, and I am proud to stand with her tonight.
That's former Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders speaking at the U.S. Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia last night. We'll have the latest developments from the DNC coming up.
Also, bomb explosions at Somalia's international airport kill 13 people, and the first vice president of South Sudan asked for the support of the president to end insecurity in the country.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, Democrats opened their national convention in Philadelphia yesterday amid renewed tension between backers of nominee-in-waiting Hillary Clinton and former rival Bernie Sanders. Supporters of Sanders are angry about leaked emails from Democratic Party officials that seem to show they preferred Clinton over Sanders in the primaries. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Philadelphia.
Bernie Sanders walked out to a thunderous extended ovation as he took center stage on the opening night of the Democratic convention. Sanders thanked his supporters for starting a political movement.
I hope you take enormous pride in the historical accomplishments we have achieved.
With many of his supporters angry about leaked emails from Democratic Party leaders that seemed to show a bias in favor of Hillary Clinton, Sanders sought to heal the party rift. He urged his loyalists to support nominee-in-waiting Hillary Clinton.
I serve with her in the United States Senate and know her as a fierce advocate for the rights of children, for women, and for the disabled. Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president, and I am proud to stand with her tonight.
Hell no, DNC! We won't vote for Hillary!
Anger among Sanders supporters was also visible outside the Wells Fargo Center, where hundreds of demonstrators were confronted by police, resulting in several arrests. Sanders supporter Lisa Lavallee Evans remains upset about the email revelations.
The media's in on it. Everybody was in on it. They said we were crazy all along. Well, look who's crazy now.
But Sanders delegate Richard Cassidy from Vermont said Democrats will come together eventually because of Republican Donald Trump.
I think it'll be a very small group of Sanders supporters who don't vote for Hillary Clinton because the alternative is just unpalatable. Who knows? If Trump wins, it might be the last election. You can't let that happen.
Among the opening night speakers was First Lady Michelle Obama, who also urged Democrats to support Clinton.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great, that somehow we need to make it great again, because this right now is the greatest country on earth.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren also revved up the crowd with a forceful attack on Republican Donald Trump.
When we turn on each other, rich guys like Trump can push through more tax breaks for themselves, and then we'll never have enough money to support our schools or rebuild our highways or invest in our kids' future.
Despite the focus on the Democratic convention, Trump and running mate Mike Pence rallied their supporters in Virginia on the heels of last week's Republican convention.
We're leading. We're actually leading in the polls.
Clinton and vice presidential running mate Tim Kaine will both address the Democratic convention later in the week. Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Thank you, Jim. Well, one of the headline speakers at the U.S. Democratic National Convention tonight is Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill, who was U.S. president from 1993 to 2001. Other speakers include House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, party interim DNC chair Donna Brazile, and a group of mothers who have lost children due to gun violence or clashes with police. The parents call themselves Mothers of the Movement. They appeared in a video released by the Clinton campaign highlighting the need for police reforms and prevention of gun violence. I spoke with colleague Vincent McCorry, who was at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia as well, about reaction to last night's speakers, the mood of the DNC today, and what we can expect tonight.
I think the reaction a little mixed here, depending on who you're talking to. First, the speeches of the night were well-received, a speech by First Lady Michelle Obama. Many people found it to be very powerful, compelling, especially as she went on to talk about her husband, the experience in the White House, and his leadership over those years. And she did, of course, connect that to Hillary Clinton as being the kind of best person that will continue the legacy of Obama. She praised her, and of course, without mentioning names, I helped people to kind of understand why they shouldn't elect Donald Trump because, you know, of what he stands for. She thinks is the exact contrast with what her husband stands for and what Hillary Clinton stands for. Talking about Bernie Sanders, Bernie Sanders came to the podium. He reminded his supporters that he is, of course, disappointed by the result of the primaries. He knows that his supporters are not happy about what transpired. He acknowledges that, but by and large, he encouraged them to come together and elect Hillary Clinton because they cannot let Donald Trump become president of this nation. People have said, of course, that it was a tough call for Bernie Sanders because his supporters, you could see in the arena, they are really passionate about him. They love him. But, of course, the reality is that Hillary Clinton is on the ticket, and he encouraged people to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Looking at today, are there protesters there today? What is the mood like at the DNC?
Protesters have been there. They're not giving up. Even with the calls from Bernie Sanders himself, the protesters are so passionate about Bernie Sanders. I've spoken to a number of them. They love this man so much. They believe that he's the only person who, they say, is honest, cannot be bought by anybody. Despite the fact that it looks inevitable that Hillary Clinton is the only person who's going to be at the ticket, of course, with the running mate Tim Kaine, those protesters continue on the periphery of this arena, and they continue with the same message.
What exactly are they calling for? What, at this point, do they want?
You know, today's going to be a roll call. And they said, hey, I expect to hear my name, to get my support there. Their wish was that actually that could be opening of the system on the ballot so that their delegates could actually vote for Bernie Sanders to be the presidential candidate, but which won't happen because Hillary has virtually all the delegates. There's no question about it. But his supporters feel like, if possible, they would like the rules to be changed so the floor can be opened for him to be given an opportunity because they strongly believe that the system was rigged. Bernie Sanders has been unfairly denied the nomination. They somehow believe that he could have won.
Tonight, I understand she will be officially nominated as the Democratic presidential candidate for this election. What speakers will be speaking tonight, and what is going to be their focus?
A number of interesting speakers. There's a movement of mothers, of those sons and daughters who have been victims of gun violence, those who've been killed, perhaps. But the big star of this night will be Bill Clinton, former president and spouse of Hillary Clinton, the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. That is anticipated. As always, of course, Bill Clinton is a very captivating speaker. He will do his thing. You can expect everybody around this country, regardless of what they think and feel about Bill Clinton, they'll be paying attention to hear how he is going to present the message on behalf of his wife, what he will say about Hillary Clinton. He will strike at the opposition, that is Donald Trump. As always, of course, is going to carry this evening. It definitely is going to overshadow any other speech that will be given this evening. It will be a big night for the Clinton family.
My colleague Vincent McCorry at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
Two cars loaded with bombs exploded at Somali's international airport this morning, killing 13 people. Seven of the dead are UN guards. Security officials say the attacks occurred at an employee entrance to the airport near the headquarters of UN and AU officials. The airport is outside of the capital, Mogadishu. Al-Shabaab militants claimed credit for the attacks.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehi Suhaib, 15 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill, is slated to talk this evening at the second day of the Democratic Presidential Convention. And bomb explosions at Somalia's international airport kill 13 people. For more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
More than 3,000 migrants and refugees have died this year while crossing the Mediterranean from North Africa to Italy. The International Organization for Migration says this is about 1,000 more compared to the same period last year. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
The IOM says 250,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Europe so far this year, about 30,000 above last year's figures. Most of the arrivals are in Italy. That's because the March agreement between the European Union and Turkey has nearly stopped the flow of Syrian, Afghan, and Iraqi refugees into Greece. IOM spokesman Flavio Di Giacomo.
Many of the migrants arriving to Italy, they arrive from Western Africa, from Horn of Africa. There are no Syrians at all. So the closure of the Balkan route didn't cause any opening of other routes for Syrians. Apparently, Syrians are still stuck in Turkey. So migrants arriving in Italy are Nigerians or people from Mali, Gambia, Ghana, Senegal, Eritrea, a lot, Somalia, Sudan.
He says they have many reasons for fleeing their home countries.
We have people who are fleeing from war, persecutions, and regimes, so people who are actually just fleeing from poverty. We think that the majority of these migrants, when they left their countries of origin, actually they don't want to come to Europe. They just want to go to Libya because they think that Libya is still the place where they can find a job.
Despite years of conflict, violence, and turmoil in Libya, Di Giacomo says many migrants and refugees are not aware of the dangers.
And the moment they cross the borders, they are robbed, they are kidnapped, they are beaten, sometimes they are killed without any reason. If they work, they are not paid. So the situation for them is very difficult, and they are actually victims of human rights violations.
The IOM is hoping to launch an awareness campaign in sub-Saharan countries to warn people of the situation in Libya. The spokesman says some return home after realizing the risks in Libya, but others want to go to Europe.
There are those who think that it's too dangerous for them to go back to their countries of origin. They don't want to stay in Libya anymore because they are afraid, they are scared even to walk in the streets. And so they decide to try the sea crossing to save their lives.
Di Giacomo says many women, especially from Nigeria, are victims of human traffickers. Many people die in the desert and thousands die at sea. He says the 250,000 people who've arrived in Europe this year is a small number compared to the region's population of 500 million. He says it should not be a burden on EU countries to receive them. Nevertheless, more countries are tightening or closing their borders. Also, an unknown number of migrants and refugees who arrive in Italy vanish into the underground labor market, working in near slave-like conditions in the agriculture industry. At the same time, the IOM spokesman says Europe needs young workers.
Europe, to survive, needs migration, and migrants will need to go to Europe. So we have to find a solution to this phenomenon and to handle migration, not to close borders, but to handle it with long-term policies together with countries of transit, countries of origin, to open legal avenues for legal migration.
Despite more ships patrolling the Mediterranean, the death toll of those trying to reach Europe is expected to steadily rise. The IOM says it's proving extremely difficult to reduce the number of victims. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
The UN Refugee Agency reports more South Sudanese refugees have fled into neighboring Uganda in the past 3 weeks than in the first 6 months of this year. Lisa Schlein has more from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
The UNHCR says more than 37,000 people have crossed the border since fighting between South Sudan's rival factions erupted July 8th in the capital, Juba. The violence that killed at least 300 people has subsided, but tensions are still running high in the capital and other parts of South Sudan. The UN Refugee Agency says people have little confidence that the situation soon will improve, as evidenced by the upsurge in people fleeing the country. UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards reports daily arrivals into Uganda were averaging around 1,500 10 days ago, but have risen to over 4,000 in the past week. He says the majority of arrivals are women and children.
New arrivals reporting ongoing fighting, looting by armed militias, burning down of homes, murders of civilians. Some of the women and children told us they were separated from their husbands and fathers by armed groups who were reportedly trying to recruit them into the ranks and preventing them from crossing the border to leave the country.
The political situation took a new turn in recent days as President Salva Kiir replaced former rebel leader Riek Machar as vice president with Taban Denge, who helped negotiate last year's peace deal between the government and opposition. Observers say this is a sign of serious divisions on the opposition side. Edwards says he cannot comment on how these developments will impact the situation, but he tells VOA the UNHCR is profoundly worried about how to care for the newest refugees.
This one is an extremely worrying one, given the limited capacities that there are.
Edwards says the UNHCR is straining to provide shelter and anything beyond basic life-saving assistance to the refugees. He says temporary shelters are being constructed to accommodate new arrivals, while more permanent solutions can be worked out. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
In Burundi, the whereabouts of a reporter for a regional news agency is unknown. He's been missing since last Friday, and his family fears for his safety. Moses Habyarimana reports from Bujumbura.
Jean Bigirimana went missing in Muramvya province, a few kilometers away from the capital. His wife, Claudette Hakizimana, says he left his home on Friday, but later received a call that her husband was detained by intelligence service officials in Muramvya province. She says she calls on the police to help her find her husband because it has now been almost 4 days without knowing his whereabouts. She says she is worried about her husband's security and that his life could be in great danger. Bigirimana is a former journalist of Rema FM, a ruling party radio station. He left the station last year during the political crisis that saw it banned. He joined Iwachu, an independent newspaper, and also started reporting for the regional news agency Info the Grand Lac. Leand Sikuyavuga is the acting chief of the local newspaper after the managing director fled the country early this year. He had been accused of collaborating with coup plotters by Burundi authorities.
Our journalist, John Bigirimana, disappeared since Friday afternoon, but till now, we don't know exactly where he is. We tried to look for the police, but even them, they say that they are not aware of the actual location of John. And what we have done, we went to RCT to see the last person to call him so that we can maybe get information of who for the last time called our journalist.
Reporters Without Borders called for the immediate release of the journalist, saying he was being held by Burundian National Intelligence. The group called that is an arbitrary arrest without any official justification. Information confirmed by sources in the intelligence service says the reporter made frequent trips to Rwanda, where he recently had a journalism training. The chief of the local newspaper says the situation is worrying for journalists.
It's a really very bad situation because normally, as journalists, we have to have a freedom if one or many journalists are now are disappearing. I think that it's not good for the media or public in general, because now some journalists will get to fear just to look for information, and consequently, the public will not be informed.
Since the crisis began in April last year, Burundi authorities have accused the media of inciting violence in the country. Since then, more than 50 journalists have fled the country. Police have denied reports of reporters' arrests and say an investigation has been launched. Pierre Nkurikiye is the police spokesman.
We don't know what happened because he has never been arrested by security forces. Now we invite his family to join the local police for an investigation. We don't know what happened. We first know if the journalist has been there and if he has been kidnapped there. Since yesterday evening, the police tried to join his family, and his wife is now in touch with the local police for an investigation.
Burundi is 156 out of 180 countries in the ranking of press freedom by Reporters Without Borders. The crisis in Burundi began in April of last year when President Pierre Nkurunziza announced he would seek for a third term in office, which critics called unconstitutional. Moses Habyarimana, VOA Africa, Bujumbura.
South Sudan's new first vice president, Taban Dengai, is calling for support of President Salva Kiir in ending insecurity in the country. He replaces Riek Machar, who disappeared from Juba 2 weeks ago following heavy fighting between his forces, the South Sudan Army. Mr. Deng says the demilitarization of Juba, as stipulated in the August peace agreement, is a daunting challenge to the government of national unity. He says people must have confidence in the army, the police, and other forces to end violence in communities. Mr. Deng also is appealing to displaced persons who took refuge at UN camps to return to their homes.
The government must function as a government of national unity and a government for everybody. The messages should go to our people, must be positive messages, that it is their country, that they must help their government to address the issues. One, we must make the people in IDP's camp be confident that the police which are doing the policing in Juba or in Wao or Bantu or Malakal is their police. They are the army there which is protecting the nation is for them.
One important issue that has been very sticking between the SPLM-IO and the government was the issue of demilitarization of Juba. Are you looking into that question as well?
We must continue to demilitarize not only Juba, but all our population centers. But how do we do it? This is a process. Now, we are going to have strategies, plans, cooperation on how to implement demilitarization of Juba. There are people having in their houses, arms, even machine guns. To do this is a process, as I told you. It's a process that will involve the army, will involve the police, will involve also the people. It is something that should be embraced by everybody. All of us, we have to cooperate.
Your colleagues in the SPLM-IO, some of them have been speaking from Nairobi, quite vocal about the changes within the party, and especially your nomination as the country's first vice president. Now that you have been sworn in, what message do you have for them, if any?
The message for them is that let them come to Juba. We come and build the country and help ourselves. You know, we are not only helping President Salva or helping anybody. It's all of us. This is our nation.
That's Taban Dengai, South Sudan's newly appointed first vice president. He spoke with reporter John Tanza. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Linor Mudu. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.